Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Maureen Halloran, and you are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com and simulcasting live on PTN Radio at PeoplesTVNetwork.com. This evening, we will be exploring the power of crystals as well as Vogel cut crystals with our special guest, Rumi Da. It is my pleasure to introduce Sharon as our new fellow co-host. A warm welcome to you, Sharon. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome. I'm doing just great. I'm really excited for tonight.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I'm a full-time psychic, and I'm a natural psychic, so I don't really use any tools. I hear messages and receive pictures from spirit, and now I'm doing readings for Psychic Access, so I'm very excited about that. Thank you.
And we are so happy to have you with us also. Hi, Steve. How are you doing? How you doing?
I'm very, very well, thank you, Maureen. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And let's hear about your background, shall we?
Well, absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, and I also give readings with psychicaccess.com.
Okay, that sums it up. Hi, Jackie. How are you this fine evening?
I'm wonderful, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing great. And your background?
My background. Well, I'm Jackie Hahn, and I'm one of the advisors on PsychicAccess.com. I work with the angelic realm to bring through messages from the angels, and all the messages that I bring are always for the highest good. I like to bring in a lot of different elements to my reading, such as, you know, what's going on, what's getting in the way, the best way to move forward. So it's a little more than just, you know, straight psychic information, like, because most people are calling because something's up, and I try to help them see beyond the illusion and to get to the truth and how to work through it, you know, and to bring a lot of different, like I said, elements to the reading to help them move forward and you know, get the best that they can for their life. So, but I'm very excited to be here, and that's about me.
Well, I think that's lovely about you, Steph. Thank you. And for me, I am an intuitive, and I'm all the C's. I'm not going to go naming them because there's so many of them. And I'm an empath, and I use tarot as my main tool. My readings are objective, and I find that to be the best way for me to focus on someone being objective and non-judgmental, as well as I am an empath, so sometimes I talk really fast in my reading, so sometimes I need to slow down because I'm picking up so much things. But my thing is about helping people help themselves or direction or going in the most positive direction. If there's any negative, you can make it into positive. And I also work on psychicaccess.com. So there you have it. So I'm going to, tonight, our guest, Rumi Da, he's a great guy. He's a spiritual friend, a mentor, a guide whose work is to be assistance to those who tread the path of awakening and seek to be of service in the process. He is an authority on the use of quartz crystals, having studied with teachers from a variety of backgrounds, ranging from the scientific to the spiritual and shamanic. Well, I can't pronounce that one. He is the author of Lifestream Crystal Energy Work, Vogel Cut Crystals. numerous articles for he's written numerous articles in various publications and has in preparation Crystals, Love, and the Matrix Consciousness, the Legacy of Marcel Vogel. And for those who don't know who Marcel Vogel is, you'll find out there later, but Rumi has conducted workshops with his friend and mentor, Dr. Marcel Vogel, with whom he acquired his fundamental training and knowledge of the use of quartz crystals. Of him, Marcel said, "I see in Rami Da a man who is capable of carrying on the teachings in a lovable, meaningful manner. This teaching is to know self in a deeper, more meaningful way and to release the attachments to the past in a loving manner." Shortly before his death in 1991, Dr. Vogel asked Rumi Da to continue the work with crystals and specifically to offer teachings to those individuals interested in this form of service. So that's going to be great. So at any rate, we're going to move on. And I would like to, I'd like to mention to be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be ready and have your pen and pencil. So if you were unable to catch our show on Crop Circles last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the archives link. Please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends, family, your neighbors, your partners, everybody you know. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. So, I think I am welcome to the show, Rumi Da. Are you there? Hello.
I'm here, Maureen.
Hey, hi. It's an honor to have you join us tonight. I had a great opportunity of having a great conversation with you last week. I really enjoyed it, by the way. And yeah, I'm really happy you're here. So I wanted to begin with, you know, the Vogel cut crystals, because a lot of people I know may not know what that is, and your background and maybe your relationship with Marcel Vogel as well.
Okay, well, I'll start with the nature of Vogel cut crystals. These are instruments that are created out of pure quartz crystal, and they came into being because Marcel Vogel, when he was working at IBM, was given a challenge to explore the uses of ordinary unfaceted quartz crystals. And one thing led to another. He began this exploration. What he discovered was that unfaceted crystals, each one of them has a different kind of response. So if we had five crystals in front of us, we could get five similar responses from the crystals. Now, for most people, this would be fine, but for a scientist, this is really anathema. You want to have an instrument that will give you precise and repeatable results. And Marcel's interest, above all, was in trying to create some kind of meaningful database or information base in which you could create a technology. So being the deeply religious man that he was, he went to Mass and prayed about this. And a couple of weeks later, he was shown in a dream state an image of what we now know as the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, basically a four-sided shape with pyramidal ends. At the time, Marcel didn't know what this was. Being a good Catholic, he knew nothing about Judaic mysticism. But he spent the next year at IBM during his lunch hours attempting to cut a piece of raw quartz into this shape. And the shape that he finally came up with was a four-sided bipyramidal piece of quartz. He then felt that he had the instrument that he could duplicate as many times as he wanted, and hopefully with each one you get the same results. Not approximate results, but the same result. What he originally discovered about quartz in general is a quartz crystal has the ability to store energy or information. It has the ability to transfer that information from one crystal to another or from a crystal to a person. It also has the ability to amplify that energy, take it and make it somewhat bigger, and it has the ability to transduce or change that energy. And this is most easily seen in what's called the piezoelectric property. If you apply pressure to a quartz crystal, it will emit a spark. And they use these frequently in gas grills. It has a plunger that you push The plunger causes an impact on a quartz crystal, which causes a spark, which causes the gas to turn into a flame. And this is translucent, the energy of pressure into electricity. It also has the very interesting property of what's called triboluminescent. I did this experiment once. I got under a blanket with a couple of friends, and unfortunately, these two ladies, all they wanted to do was play with crystals. But they got the crystals out and began rubbing them together, and the crystals began to glow. And this is called triboluminescence. When you do this to a crystal, it'll begin to luminesce and actually produce light.
Jeez, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, crystals are quite amazing little individuals. For Marcel, this wasn't enough, however, because, as I said, he couldn't create repeatable results on any kind of reliable basis. So in fashioning this shape of a four-sided crystal, what he did is he created an instrument that had all the properties that I've already delineated, plus these crystals were able to cohere energy. So a coherent beam is somewhat, it's like a laser. An incoherent beam of energy would be like a flashlight. Mm-hmm. And so he could create a stream of energy to emit from his faceted crystal in a very coherent stream, allowing him to have greater focus and access to whatever he was seeking to work with. When you work with an uncut crystal, you don't have that kind of focus. However, it's important to remember that, you know, if you're walking along in the dark, a flashlight or incoherent light is what you need. A coherent light, a laser, isn't going to help you at all. You're still going to trip over things that are on the street or on the lawn. You need a light that spreads out. But there are times when you do need a laser. So one isn't better than the other. It depends what it is you seek to do as to what instrument you would use.
Right, with what you want to do with this crystal in order in your work or whatever else have you, or for your own personal... Is that what you're saying, opposed to the uncut crystal?
And even the decision to use a crystal. It's important to ask oneself, what is it that I want to do here? Why am I choosing to use the crystal? Is it because I'm the crystal healer and that's what's expected? Or is it actually serving some purpose in what I seek to do with this person? Sometimes it's much better just to use your hands. Most people respond much better to a gentle touch than they do to a sharp, pointy object touching them. And so you have to know what it is you seek to do. It's always good to know what your outcome is going to be.
Like you said, we were talking last week, it's about the intent of what you want to do.
Exactly,
yeah. What about... Because Vogel cut crystals, and I've done a lot of research. They're phenomenal. They're a little higher end as far as going down the street to pick up a crystal on your own. But so when somebody is wanting to, if somebody wants a Vogel crystal and they come, they come to you your site, and I know that there's very few two people in the world that actually are qualified to cut these crystals into a... how do you choose one? How do you choose one, if you're picking?
There's a couple of things to look at. One is, let's start with the most mundane. What can you afford? Because these are very expensive items. But they're not toys or artifacts or fetishes. They are instruments, tools to be used in healing practice. Much like... A doctor would buy instruments for his practice or her practice. In fact, I supply many DOs with healing crystals. So the first thing to consider is what you can afford. And then the crystals are priced according to their size and the number of facets. Crystals range from four-sided up to, we've made as many as 32 sides to the crystal. And as the number of sides increases, the energetic output of the crystal becomes greater. Now, this isn't necessarily better, but it's greater. It's useful or not, depending on a given situation. You know, sometimes you need 3 ounces of water to quench your thirst, sometimes you need 10. If you only need 3 and you drink 10, you may be taking in too much. So it's important to assess what you need for the job you seek to do. I recommend that people choose from an intuitive point of view, in as much as I suggest that they go into a thoughtful and meditative state and ask which is the best, what is the optimal for me. And most of the time an answer doesn't come right away. So what I suggest is you pay attention to what numbers begin showing up synchronistically in your life. And I've had many, many reports of people telling me, well, as they're driving down the street, they begin to notice certain numbers and addresses or certain numbers on license plates and things like this. And it's not that these are mysteriously showing up, but it's that your subconscious is guiding you to notice this.
This right.
And so you might notice the number 8 more than any other. And so this might be guidance for you to look into having an 8-sided crystal net. And very, very seldom do I have any input into what a person might want to get, because I find that to be disempowering for that individual.
Exactly. Well, you know, I was reading about how you do a hand. What do you do? A hand, when someone's choosing their crystal, you do a hand outline. What was it?
We have 3 different sizes of crystal. A standard size, which is made to fit into your hand. They're about 4 inches, 4.5 inches long. And the idea is that the crystal fits more or less from the center of your palm to the tip of your index finger. And so we ask that a person supply either a photocopy or an outline of their hand, just so we have a reference as to how long the crystal should be.
Interesting.
When we're working with small crystals, these crystals are about 3 inches long. Then the outline of the hand is not as important. And we have very tiny crystals that are maybe an inch and a half long, and the hand outline isn't required at all. Our cutter works from the foundation of the person's name and what they want to do with the crystal. He tunes into that name as he begins to work with the raw piece of crystal and then just lets his intuition guide him. And usually people are very, very happy with what they get.
So these are very, very custom crystals for certain people that do healing work or people that want to do a more, even more deeper mediumship for the medium. I mean, anything, enlightenment of any sort. I mean, it's not just for healing. I know crystals, a lot of times people say for healing, but there's a lot more to it. So according to each individual person, you're saying, and the person that cuts, which I, like I said before, there's a lot of fake, they're calling them focal crystals out there, from what I understand. And
yes,
they're not really vocal crystals, because it has to do with the person's cutting them.
They're in Hong Kong or China, some from Brazil. Some of them are made well, some of them not. What's important in these crystals is that the angles of the tips be in relationship to each other in a particular way. For example, in the 4-sided crystal, one end of the crystal is cut to be in resonance with the Cheops pyramid. When we get into the more multifaceted crystals, this is not so much the case. What becomes in play there is the relationship between one end of the crystal and the other. One end of the crystal is a base, a fundamental frequency. The other end is cut to be in resonance with the user of the crystal. And this is what the cutter assesses or intuits from the person's name, from that vibration.
I'm amazed, and this is remarkable, because like I said, I you know, gotten into my crystal stuff, but it's nothing like this. But Marcel, on the scientific level, he really, like you said, tapped into what, like you said, the you know, a flashlight or a laser. so these are very, mm-hmm. these are very serious, powerful tools for somebody. And whatever
yes,
they are going to
Marcel
use
was also interested in finding out what is it that's true about the crystals, and what is it that is mythological or perhaps idiosyncratic? In other words, you think the crystal is doing something, but it isn't necessarily doing what you think. Sometimes it's acting as a placebo, which isn't a bad thing, but it may not be that the crystal is required. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to separate reality from illusion through the only way that he knew, which was the kind of research that he'd done all his life. And he got a lot of grief for this, both from his scientific peers who thought he was a little crazy for even investigating crystals in the way that he was, and from metaphysical people who didn't like this fine acumen being shone on the work that they were doing.
Right.
Because sometimes it's very easy to be vague, and you can claim ownership of the results that happened because the outcome you specified is so vague. Anything could be correct. And
that's
Marcel
true.
Was looking for real pinpoint accuracy, that if this is what we seek to do, this is the outcome we're going to get. Or we're not. There isn't something in between. You know, it's either working or it's not working. Both results teach us something.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. You know, also, can you explain to people what charging... there's one thing I want to ask. What about somebody else picking a crystal for you? What do you think about that?
Well, if someone is knowing you quite well, like is a good friend, let's say, they can select a crystal for you in a number of ways. One is just, you know, take a moment to think about you, and they can either scan visually some crystals, or what's even more helpful is to do kinesiological testing or muscle testing, in which you either look at or hold the crystal while you're applying pressure to a particular muscle group. Often this is done between the thumb and the index or second finger, where as you're focused on a particular item, you pull on that link. If you can break the link, that means that whatever it is you're focused on, and in the case of our discussion, perhaps a crystal, then that's weakening you, not necessarily good for you. If you cannot break that link between the tip of your thumb and the tip of your index finger, that means that it's strengthening you. You could also do dowsing with a pendulum. And you know, that's a whole other subject we don't really have time to get into here, but you can read about it in all sorts of different books. There's lots of sites online about dowsing. So if the person knows you well, they can use either one of those methods to select a crystal for you.
But ideally, it is best for you to be able to pick it, isn't it? So, I mean, at best, is it?
I'm not really a stickler
for that.
Whether someone should give you a crystal or someone shouldn't give you a crystal. I know lots of people that think that you should only work with a crystal that someone gifts you. Well,
right.
I don't necessarily subscribe to that because I think however you come upon a crystal, it's been gifted to you by the universe. Whether
right.
you have to pay for it or not.
Exactly.
You and the crystal coming together is a synchronous event.
Rumi, how do you charge? What's charging and programming? A lot of people don't, I mean, I didn't realize this until many years ago, but what is involved with charging and programming, and which needs to be done first? Of course, charging, I don't know. Could you explain
okay.
that to our listeners?
Sure.
Please.
Well, let's start at the beginning. When you get a crystal, whether it's faceted or unfaceted, but particularly unfaceted crystals that you might pick up at any metaphysical bookstore or crystal shop, you need to clear that crystal of any unwanted vibrations or imprints that it's holding, either just from hanging around or from people who have been holding on to it. You do this by linking your mind to the crystal, which is an exotic way of saying just looking at the crystal, and you take in a slow, deep breath with the intent that you're going to clear from that crystal all the influences that are limiting or harmful to you. And then you forcefully pulse the breath through the nostrils. It's sort of like a sneeze, and that will transfer that thought to the crystal in question. Now, if you can be holding the crystal, this is even better. But some crystals are so big that you can't hold them. So simply having the crystal in your mind's eye is good enough. It's better if you can hold it, in which case you would hold each end of the crystal, one on your thumb and one tip on your index or second finger, and with your other hand you would hold opposing sides of the crystal. Crystal has six sides, which is equivalent to three opposing sides. So again, you focus on the intent to clear or release any harmful or limiting influences from the crystal. Breathe in and pulse your breath, sort of like a sneeze. You turn the crystal once so that you have now two more opposite sides between your thumb and second finger. Repeat the breathing procedure. Turn the crystal once more so you have the third set of opposite faces between your thumb and fingertip. And pulse the breath again, and this will clear the crystal of anything that might be a limitation to whatever it is you seek to do with it, or just to being with you in general. Now, to charge the crystal, you can roll the crystal, hold the crystal in your dominant hand. I have one in my hand right now that I'm going to charge as we speak. I begin by rubbing the crystal with my thumb across the longitudinal surface, the length of the crystal. What this does is I'm applying pressure to the surface of the crystal as I'm squeezing it. As I continue to squeeze it several times, the surface of the crystal starts to become sticky or resistant. This is a demonstration of the piezoelectric effect. A small surface charge is being created on the surface of the crystal.
I'm doing this too with mine, too. Okay.
Now, when I have that, that indicates to me that a primary charge has been imputed to the surface of the crystal. I'm now ready to put a charge or program into the crystal. I do this by holding the crystal in my dominant hand so that my index finger is over one tip and the other tip is resting as close as it can to the center of my palm. Now, if the crystal is too big to be held, you just look at it. I then create in my consciousness the sense of love and well-being. It's most important that this be some kind of feeling sense, not just the thought of the words love and well-being, but recall a time when you felt loved or loving. Mm-hmm. And once you have that feeling, you slowly breathe in with the intent to transfer the essence of that feeling to the crystal. I breathe in, hold the breath for a second or two. I pulse my breath, and that charge is transferred to the crystal. The crystal now is pulsing in my hand, and it is responsive to my breath. When I breathe in, the crystal feels like it's uncharged. When I breathe out, the crystal is pulsating again.
Yeah.
There's lots of applications you can discover with the crystal just with that little bit of information, that the crystal is responsive to your breathing. Once I have this fundamental charge of love and well-being in the crystal, this is like a carrier wave. Mm. I can then put into the crystal any specific that I choose for whatever it is I'm doing with myself or another individual. So that could be a Bach flower remedy, a homeopathic remedy. It could be the desired outcome that the person is looking for and coming to you for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
We've even gone so far as to do this with sedatives, for example. Marcel would do this in an experimental way and transfer the thought of a sedative into a person's energy field. And within 15 or 20 seconds, that person would be getting very mellow, and another few seconds, they'd be asleep.
Wow.
You can then extract that energy from their energy field, and they'll wake up. and they won't have any kind of hangover like you would if you took a medication, a Xanax or a Valium or something like this.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I'm recommending that people do, but it's indicative of what's possible with crystal. Marcel called this essence chemistry. You're taking the essence of chemical elements, and you have the ability to transfer them from the crystal to wherever you choose, to a person, to a glass of water, to whatever. But further research is really, you know, would be nice to be done, and requires, you know, medical people to be involved, and tendency is they're a little loath to do this.
Well, you know, things are, I was reading somewhere, you had a conversation, we had a conversation about, like, can an individual unintentionally cause harm using a crystal? I remember we were speaking about that child, the little boy,
mm-hmm.
that you didn't intentionally, but you didn't cause harm, but the crystal reacted to this child.
Yes, one of the things with these authentic Vogel crystals we create for people is when we get them, basically we make them blanks, which means they're ready to accept your charge and your energy. The one exception is we put in a permanent charge along the growth axis of the crystal that the crystal cannot be used in any way that is less than loving or helpful. And if you do that intentionally or unintentionally, there will be a conflict of energies in the crystal, which will cause an internal pressure in the crystal. Mm-hmm. And what often happens is the tip of the crystal will flake off, rendering the crystal much less powerful in transmitting a charge than it was previously. So you can't be harmful using the crystal. It doesn't matter whether you're intending to be harmful or not. Not knowing what you're doing and hoping for the best is not good enough. You really need to know what you're doing when you're dealing with this kind of instrument. The example that you were telling that I spoke about with you last week was many, many years ago, I had this beautiful, beautiful six-sided smoky quartz that Marcel had prepared for me. And my wife and I were at lunch, we were introduced to this lady who had her 7-day-old grandson with her. And her grandson happened to be a cocaine addict because a few days before giving him birth, his mother went out on a cocaine binge. So, of course, my wife volunteered my services, and I can't say that I really had any idea what to do at this point. But I did remember that smoky quartz is like a psychic sponge. Smoky quartz is created in the presence of radiation, which causes atomic holes to be formed. So there's tiny holes in smoky quartz that become light absorbent. And the more light the crystal absorbs, the darker it becomes. So you see some smoky quartz that are very pale and some that are almost black. And that just depends how much natural radioactivity they've been exposed to while they're growing. The result for us is once they are taken from the ground, and in the case of a Vogel crystal, educated to perform in a certain way, that absorbency becomes an energetic absorbency. So if you're experiencing pain or something of this nature, smoky quartz is very good at extracting that from the body. So my thinking was, maybe if I charge this crystal with love and well-being and place it on the child, it will absorb the toxicity that it's attempting to release from the cocaine that was flowing through its system. So I did this, and I put it approximately over the infant's chest. About maybe 15 seconds after doing this, I heard this cracking sound, and my crystal broke into 4 pieces, and then those 4 pieces fell off the child onto a parquet floor and shattered into many, many other pieces.
My gosh.
I think at that point, I was probably in just as much shock as the child was. There's my beautiful crystal in pieces on the floor. What happened? And it wasn't because the baby had been moved or, you know, the crystal could have rolled off. This was not the case at all. So that evening, I called Marcel and I asked him, what is going on here? My poor, beautiful crystal just cracked up. And he said in his own inimitable way, well, you see, Rumi Da, you should never place a crystal on the body of an infant because their etheric body is not yet fully formed. To which I said, thank you very much for telling me. If I'd known this before, I wouldn't have done this. And he said, but you're never going to forget this, are you? I'll stay with you, and you're never going to do this again. This is even better than me having told you.
So it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt the child. It was obviously picking up on the toxins. Maybe was that? Do you think that was the reason?
Picking up on the toxins, and that possibly to extract so much at one time would be harmful to the child.
Right.
And, you know, maybe if I had done something more willfully with the crystal, actually intervening myself to pull energies out of the child, that might have been different. By placing the crystal directly on the body, this was too much for the child's body at that time.
And, that's amazing.
You know, I was a young neophyte in those days. I had no idea that the etheric body of the infant wasn't fully developed. And it's
well,
also
yeah,
a perfect
for a crystal
example
to be on, yeah.
of good intentions not being enough. There are some people I've met who espouse the idea that, you know, if you work with certain energies, you can be completely ignorant about what's going on because the energies will take care of themselves.
Right.
Not necessarily so.
Yeah.
It is very important to know what you're doing, to be as educated and as knowledgeable as you possibly can is one wing of your practice, and the other wing of your practice is the love and compassion, your intent to help and to serve people.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's, you know, there was, that's very true because, well, like we are colored by our environment, and I guess a crystal would be colored by our intent too. But
exactly.
I was reading about, using crystals to, for, you know, attaining or learning knowledge or studying for a test. And you said, I read about something that you were present several times with Marcel using a crystal for that and knowledge and so forth. And it was interesting what you said.
I've had some interesting experiences with Marcel and also with my daughter. With Marcel, I had heard him talk about this, using that crystals are information storage devices. That being the case, you should be able to store information in the crystal and then extract that information whenever you need it. So I'm the kind of guy, well, as I'm getting older, I'm mellowing out a little bit, but at the time, I was the kind of guy that would say, okay, show me. If that's really the case, I want to see it. Talk is good, but showing me is better. Mm-hmm. So he liked this kind of, you know, as a critical scientist, he liked this kind of thinking. So he said, okay, let's do it. Pick any book up off the shelf. So we were in his office. I picked up this huge tome off his bookshelf. And he said, open it up to any page. I don't care where. While I was doing this, he was clearing and charging his crystal. He took the crystal, and believe it or not, all he did was draw the crystal with the tip towards the page, almost on the page, and drew it down the page like you would with a hand scanner. And he did this for maybe 3 or 4 pages. And he said, okay, now ask me any question. So, again, being the kind of individual I wasn't going to ask him any kind of general thematic question where, you know, maybe he'd read enough of it to know what was being said. I asked him for very specific. So I said, okay, what does paragraph 4 on page 695 say? And he repeated that to me word for word. And then I'd flip a couple of pages and say, okay, what's the last paragraph of that page? And again, he could say it word for word. And I was amazed. He said, and that's only because it's stored in the crystal. I'm literally reading it like I'm looking at the book.
That's amazing.
And this is the most superficial way of storing information in the crystal.
Rumi Dahl, we're going to take a short commercial, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. So hang in there with us, okay?
I'll be there.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And we're back with Rumi Dahl, and we were talking about, storing information crystals, and you were mentioning your daughter, your 12-year-old daughter at the time? 12?
Yes, at the time she was 12 or 13, somewhere around that age, and she was beginning to get rather poor grades in mathematics. And she came to me, and, you know, as only an adolescent can do, she said, "Does this crystal stuff really work, or is it just a lot of, you know what?" I said, "Well, I think it really works." And, "Well, what can I do to improve my grades? If it's all that this old guy, Marcel, says, you know, when you're 12 years old, anyone over 30 is an old guy." And so both her mother and I showed her how to clear and charge the crystal. And what we showed her was to go into the crystal as if she was sitting inside a little crystal room. And then to study the information that she needed for whatever test was coming up. So she did this, and then when she's finished, she would come out of the crystal. Upon taking the test, she'd take her crystal and go into the crystal again and write the test. The first time she did this, she scored, I think, a 98 on the test. Her grades went up very dramatically. And she was pleased. She kept doing this, and her grades continued to be at this 98th percentile level. And one day, the teacher who was administering the test noticed that she had this little quartz crystal on her desk. And it was an uncut crystal, just a little crystal that we had in a basket in the house. So the teacher took the crystal away from her. Now, I can't even imagine what the teacher was thinking was going on here. You know, how would a piece of rock have any influence at all on the outcome of this mathematics test? You know, you could look at it and there's no crib notes sketched on it anywhere. But regardless, my daughter was quite upset about this because now her instrument was gone. So we said, "Well, here's what you can do. You can take another crystal, go through the same procedure, but leave the crystal at home when you go to take your next test. And sitting at your desk in school, imagine that you're inside the crystal at home." So basically what we're teaching her to do is to remotely access the crystal.
Right.
From about 10 or 15 miles away. And she did this, and she had one test that went down because she didn't have the crystal at all and she was really panicked. The next time she did what we suggested to her, to use the crystal remotely, her grades went back up to 98%. Her internal experience was that every question that I read, it's as if the answer comes to me immediately, or the understanding of how to solve the question comes to me.
That's
so
great.
She didn't necessarily get the end answer to some kind of quadratic equation, but she would feel or get the vibration of how to solve the puzzle.
You see, that to me, that's a great thing that we should teach our kids to do for, well, it's like a meditation or to calm down, or for the people that are medicating their children who are a little too many to be able to access. You know, Jackie has a question. Jackie, you can ask a question.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Rami. How are you?
I'm good.
Wow, Maureen, that was fast. I barely finished typing. You must be psychic.
Yeah.
My question is this. You know, I have a daughter in school, and I'm really fascinated by what you're sharing. But would it work with other subjects besides math? I'm assuming so. Has she had that experience? Have you heard that experience as well with other subjects in school?
Sure. Seeing as I'm not mentioning her name, I can tell some stories. But she even used this well into law school. She's currently a lawyer. And she would do the same thing when she was reading her law books. And despite whatever we think about lawyers, I'm totally in awe that anyone can pass a bar exam because of how much information these people have to know.
Mm.
And she found that when she used the crystal in the way that she learned as a young child, that it just helped her studying so much. She had such a greater, not only retention, but comprehension and understanding of what she was reading. And so it helps maybe even more so with the comprehension of ideas, you know, philosophical ideas and things of this nature, not just hard facts.
Do you, I just want to ask one more quick question. I know Steve has something. Has there been any scientific study as to why this has happened, or this is possible? I mean, it just blows me away. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
As far as I know, there hasn't been. One could make the argument that it's a mnemonic device or some kind of placebo. And even if that is the case, I think that's an amazing thing. It demonstrates the incredible ability of the mind. However, when one way you can do testing with this kind of thing is to use some other object other than the crystal. So, for example, you could go into class with your lucky pen or your lucky penny or whatever you happen to have, and imagine that you're doing the same thing with that object. My experience and my observation of teaching this all over the place is that people don't get the same results when they're not using a quartz crystal. It seems to have something to do with the molecular matrix of the crystal being able to hold, to store information. And it stores this information as pattern thought, not exactly like bits and bytes the way a computer does, but as pattern thought. So what you retrieve when you go into the crystal again are these patterns of thought, which, of course, you have to make sense of. And it's not as easy, necessarily, as just doing it, although some people seem to have a knack for it. It is a skill to be developed. So the more you do it, the better you get at it. Children are very good at it because, depending on how old they are, they don't necessarily know that it's not supposed to work.
Right.
And they're approaching it with somewhat of an open mind. Particularly if you approach it as a kind of not-so-serious game. You know, not something they can fail at. Just let's have some fun and see if this works.
Right. Well, thank you. That's fabulous.
You're welcome.
Jackie, that was a good question. And Steve has a question. This is Steve. Hi, Steve. Mommy?
Yes, hi. Oh, it's fascinating. I absolutely adore crystals. I'm really interested to ask you about the crystal skulls. I watched a documentary the other day that was saying that there are, I think, 12 or 13 crystal skulls in the world.
Yeah.
And apparently, and I think two of them are, or have been found, but there's a theory that they contain an enormous amount of information that comes from elsewhere. Have you heard of those?
Well, I can tell you of Marcel's experience with the Mitchell Hedges skull, which is probably the most famous skull because it has a detachable jaw, and it is the most realistic of all the skulls that exist. And he visited Anna Mitchell Hedges in Toronto, and Anna was just keeping the skull on her coffee table in her living room. Like, you know, you might keep a coffee table book in the living room.
Wow.
And he wanted to experience it, so he approached the crystal much the same way that I've described with the Vogelkett crystal. See, first he cleared it of anything that might get in the way of what he was seeking to do. And it's important for listeners to keep in mind, when you clear a crystal this way, it does not erase everything from the crystal, only the things that are going to interfere with what you want to do. So it's not like you just completely deleted your entire hard drive. All the good stuff you want to keep is still there. So he cleared the crystal, and then he charged it with love and well-being, and he held his hands over the temples of the crystal skull. And he took in a few deep breaths. As you're working with the crystal, the more deeply you can breathe and the more rhythmically you can breathe, you'll begin to oscillate with the vibration of the crystal, and you can really physically feel this in your body. As he did this, his consciousness suddenly became flooded with images of how this crystal was used, and the images that he got was used primarily as a method of transferring information from one generation to another, and in this case it would be like a priesthood, so that an elder priest could transfer the sum of his knowledge to a neophyte without the kind of linear teaching that we go through, you know, years and years and years of acquiring information, some of it useful, some of it not. What would be transferred to the crystal is not just the information, but the understanding. And then it would be the neophyte's job to grow from there, to surpass his teacher. Nowadays, it's become so much politicized that the teacher really doesn't want the student to pass his understanding because, you know, maybe his job depends upon it. But this was something that was very intrinsic to the cultures back in these ancient days. The Mitchell Hedges skull appears to be made by one piece, and depending whose report you read, it doesn't seem to have any tool marks on it at all. Now, there's another skull in the British Museum that's close to the same quality as the Mitchell Hedges skull, and there are a number of other skulls that are being found over periods of time. There's the crystal skull, an amethyst one, from San Jose in Central America, and it is anticipated that there are 13 altogether, forming a central crystal and a group around the central crystal of 12. How much of this is actual and how much of it is mythological, I don't know, but there seem to be more and more of these skulls being found. The difficulty is it is an area that opens itself up to a lot of fraud. And, you know, people have come out with fraudulent skulls, fraudulent being that they were just made last week and they're not ancient skulls at all. So one has to approach this with a certain amount of integrity and a real desire to find out what's true. But I think there probably are quite a few skulls.
Sharon wanted to ask a question before we go because we're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon. I'm sorry, Steve. But Sharon?
I was just wondering about Multivite. And is it really from another, like, another place?
A Multivite is, you could call it an extraterrestrial glass. It comes from a meteor. And the green glass itself is formed as the meteor enters into the Earth's atmosphere. It's called Moldavite because most of it originally was found near the Moldau River in Europe. And
we're having a little bit of technical.
I can hear a spike.
Well, I hope everybody heard that. Sharon, you heard it too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you.
And Moldavite is very similar to another glass. It was a black glass called, boy, it's escaping my mind right now. It's a volcanic glass. Anyway, they're not crystalline in nature, but they do have properties that are quite remarkable. I have worked with Moldavite quite a lot. And obsidian, that's what I was trying to think of. Obsidian is volcanic glass. It's not a crystal. but it has rather amazing properties. Information storage is not one of them. That requires a crystalline structure to do that. But I found moldavite to have a very high frequency, and if you add it to quartz crystal, that frequency becomes even more amplified. Whether that is related to anything extraterrestrial or not, that's something you have to find out in your own experience.
Okay, thanks, Sharon, for asking. I'm sorry, we had a little bit of a humming sound there, but that's very, I've never heard about that. You know, Rumi, Daw, we have to wrap it up. Unfortunately, I'd like to have you on for a couple more hours. But I'd really like to thank you kindly, and I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing all your insights with us tonight, because I think a lot of people don't know about this part of the crystals. And so to contact Rumi Daw, please visit his website at www.vogelcrystals.net, and the contact information is on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So Rumi, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you being here.
Quite welcome. I'd like your listeners to know that I'm available whether they decide to purchase something or not, or they already have a crystal. I'm available as a resource to talk to or email to, no charge. That's part of what I do. I'm available as a resource to people or whatever I know.
Yeah, he's wonderful. The website there has all his contact is also very informative. You're a great guy, I find it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rumi.
It's been a wonderful time. It hardly seems like a minute's gone by.
Right. Okay, good night, Rumi, and I'll talk to you soon again.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much.
Good night, Rumi.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so yeah, that was pretty cool. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. I believe that's what I'm going to do, and here I go. I'm just in awe of him. I hope everybody follows. Okay, it's pretty interesting, this stuff, but please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to how to choose a psychic development. And if you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. So all of the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, this is a very good thing. Site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And also, if you like our show, which, I mean, I love this show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic View. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We'd very much appreciate it. And I think that the others that you spread the word to would very much appreciate it as well. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Okay. And... okay, that sounds good. We have everything going. Okay, so now we are into the fun part of our show here. It's called For Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
There you are. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, what has been your experience with crystals?
Well, I've always been really drawn to crystals. I've got a relatively good collection of different crystals, but there's one in particular that I really love. I was gifted a large quartz crystal in the UK, and it was used by a number of organizations for healing and mediumship development, and I was told that it was actually used in different locations around Europe, but it's extremely powerful. I gave it to a friend recently who had cancer of the thyroid, and she was determined to heal herself. So she used the crystal to meditate each day and to ask spirit for healing. And then when she actually went for her operation to have the thyroid removed, the surgeon said that he only needed to remove half of it. And for some reason, the tumor, when they did the biopsy, was no longer malignant. So I'm very intrigued to learn much more about crystals. And this show was fascinating.
Yeah, on a scientific level as well, because crystals, come on, generate so many of our computers. Crystals generate our watches. Well, you know, that was a big thing. But that's very interesting. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And there you have it, everybody. I mean, it's not that they're magic. It's about the person who is, who's you know, like Rumi was talking about. The person is in charge. So they're not magical stones and all that. But Jackie, I'd like to ask you something. Do you think that our personal energy influenced the crystal's healing power as well?
I think we sort of covered that, no?
But I want you. We did, but also I want your
yes. actually, I do, and I felt that way prior to the interview this evening. So right. You know, and again, a lot of. You know, crystals, like we said, you know, like you were just saying, there's no magic crystals. And a lot of things that we as psychics and healers and such use are tools. You know, they are tools, but it's really the intention and the what we're bringing from us that's being channeled through, so to speak, the tools. So it is, my philosophy about this is that 99% of it is from us. And 1% is what we're using. We really don't need tools, if you ask me. The tools are a great way to get started. It's like getting your foot in the door. It's helping to gain confidence. It really is a great mechanism to have. But ultimately, I don't feel tools of any sort are really a necessity. It's just my feeling and my theory around that.
I do declare.
Okay.
This is the thing that you bring up is interesting, because I feel that if you were in a particular type of let's say you wanted to be focused on getting more knowledge of the universe or whatever, or a healer, we hear a lot about that with the crystal people that work with crystals, but really I think that this kind of thing is very important because it's energy. Mm-hmm. And it's strong energy. I mean, it's even, you know, because like I said, it scientifically speaking, it's been proven to be that, because we use it in computers and everything else. So it can be a very powerful tool for some particular individual that's working in a certain field, right, or area that would enhance their own. It's almost like meditating, you know, right, or meditational, and being able to have a focus point. And sometimes the crystal could be used for that, I think,
powerful
asset. It would be a really great asset.
It is. I guess I just see the bigger picture of things, and you know, again, down the road, and once people start to develop themselves and develop whatever it is they want to do, you know, you find that, you know, the last thing I guess you want to do is become dependent on something, because we have everything inside. We always have, we always will. And not to say that crystals and all those aren't wonderful tools. They are. They're fabulous. But what you find is that you can bring forth that energy yourself without that. You know, it's the intent.
No, I know.
It's behind the energy, you know, the behind the scenes, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. I mean, the show's. Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying. And later on, after, I'm going to talk a little while, but I have a good story about that, what you're talking about, my experience. And then maybe I'll change your mind. No, I won't. I would never. Jack, you bless your heart. And Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I understand that you found a memory, which he was talking about, in a large obsidian, which I love obsidian, rainbow sphere that you purchased once. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Well, I received a gift, and it was like a quite large, I'd say it was about maybe 5-6 inches, and it was round. It was perfect. It was a rainbow obsidian. And whenever I would pick it up, I would start to get a story. It was almost like back in medieval days, So I started, like, every time I held it, I started typing it all and typing it. And then after a while, I don't even know where it went, really, but where the words went. But after a while, it just sort of stopped. And I thought, I wonder if it was like a memory stuck in there that had to get out or something like that. And he kind of talked about that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. And that's why, as I was, when I read, and you sent me some information, you were chatting about this. I always tell people I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to everything. But I think that's beautiful. And obsidian is very interesting for me. It's close to my heart, but I think that's very interesting because obsidian rainbow is very, I've never heard of that before.
I think that's cool. Beautiful. Yeah, it was a really beautiful stone too. I don't know where it went.
But you know, sometimes it goes on to the next person it's supposed to be at. That's what I kind of think maybe. But
yeah, that's true.
Steve, can you, can crystals enhance mediumship? I know the answer to what he's going to say. Steve?
I believe that they can. I believe that crystals have a lot of power. And I'm not an expert, but when your guest was saying that crystals can amplify energy, that really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. I concur with what Jackie was saying in that when you're comfortable as an intuitive, as a psychic or as a medium, you don't need tools. You know, you can work and should be able to work without tools. But I know that I feel something energetic when I hold the large crystal quartz that I referred to before. And in seances, I use that crystal in the room. So I don't hold the crystal or invite a member of the circle to hold the crystal. But I like having it in the room. It definitely does something. So I believe that we've got a lot more to learn about crystals and different stones. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that some of them can amplify energy.
Yeah. You know, and also because Marcel Vogel, being the scientist of 27 years at IBM, he was he was responsible for, before we went to CDs, he was something else over there, let's put it that way. And I think it's very interesting because he went into the nether side of the crystal in scientists, but also being a very enlightened person himself. But, you know, and Jackie, I'm going to ask you, and I do want to tell a little bit of a story about, and I agree with Jackie. I used to, well, concur with Jackie, what she's saying. Until I had an experience about 20 years ago, and then I'll tell you. But Jackie, does color have meaning to the crystal?
It does. But actually, I have to be honest with you, Maureen. I'm feeling guided. I think we need to go back to what we were talking about, and I'll tell you why. Because I really feel we need to expand that. I had an experience. We're going to go back to the intentions behind the crystals, just in case anybody's just listening now. Well, I'll give you a little story. I want to have somebody in my life. Okay, so what I heard was rose quartz was something that was the energy of the quartz was to bring forth, you know, love and relationships and that sort of thing. Hence, a year later, I'm still single. So when we talk back... when we talk about our, I'm just going to share what the hell. When we talk about our personal intention, I don't blame the crystal. I don't blame the tools. But my point here is that me personally, my energy was not in a place of receiving because of what I'm going through, things I'm clearing, my relationship, men, blah, blah, blah. Won't get into all that here. But the point is, it's a beautiful stone. I still have it. You know, I have vision boards. I have, you know, all these different kinds of tools and la, la, la. But, you know, deep down, there's still healing that I'm aware of. I don't beat myself up over it. So, I guess the point is we have so much of an influence. That's my belief. You can take it or leave it. But I know personally for me, it's just who I am, and there's so much more to us that we're... See, this is what I want to do, is really help empower people, because we're out there looking. What about this? This can help. What about this? This can help. But if we inside are not in that place of receiving, of working, looking within, letting go, and all that great stuff that we need to do, honestly, how much of it can it really make a difference? It'll prolong. I'm sure, you know, again, it'll help, but it almost feels like these very... You know, like when a child gets a new toy, they play with it for a week, and then it goes in, you know, collects dust. It's that kind of thing. It's like, oh, this is the latest thing, or oh, this is the latest thing. But honestly, what it all boils down to is we need to be honest with ourselves. So I don't know where I was going with that, but
no, that's
I had to share that.
No, that's okay, because this will, and this is why I want to, and you know, Sharon, you feel free to jump in as well, but we'll come back, and we're going to be right back. We're going to take a short commercial, PTN commercial. We'll be right back.
Every Tuesday night, check out Miami Town Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miami Town Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miami Town Ghost Tours. Miami Town Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at PTN Radio.
And we're back, and Jackie, I have something to say.
You do.
No, you know, I really appreciate you bringing this up, and I love you to death. You know, well, not to death, but I mean, you know. But I want to tell you, because something you bring up, when I was first, you know, I fell into this work because I was supposed to, and I was running a restaurant, and this hippie guy, which, you know, I'm kind of hippie, he comes in and he tells me he has these crystals out in his van, this big old VW old van, and if I'd be interested in purchasing one. And I was irked with crystals. This was in the 80s when everything was like crystal, you know, the fad of those crystals, and I was really tormented by that. Just like, yeah, you know, you, Jackie, kind of like in a way your energy, what you said, I was really down on crystals. And so I go, okay, fine. So I went out there, went to his van, and I'm really a nice girl, but I was being kind of snippety. And I said, he had all these boxes and boxes and boxes, just these crystals. And I go, okay, and I pull my hand out. I want the one way back there. I want to look at that one, just to be not so nice. So we start doing it. All of a sudden, I go, well, how much is that one? And so finally, I end up with this crystal I was buying for the man that I was running his restaurant. I was getting it for him. I had no desire for myself. Well, this crystal was something else. It turns out, well, I kept it, but what it turned out to be was called a record keeper. And the reason I went into a whole, it expanded my whole knowledge into what my work was as of today, as even, you know, empowered me, not empowered me, gave me more insight. Now, I'm always searching for more insight. I'm never going to be completely, you know, we're never going to be completely all that. But this crystal was amazing, and it had all these triangles. I would look at it, and I was staring, and all this stuff was happening. And like Sharon was talking about how she, you know, seen things or spears or whatever, I was seeing this, these triangles, they would come and go, and then I did research. And it opened the door up to me like, oh my gosh, these crystals are something more to them.
Well, I'm going to interrupt here. Uh-huh. I'm going to interrupt here. Would it be not fair to say in some aspect that the crystal unlocked a part of yourself? Like that was the tool that you needed at the time to open that door.
And even though I did not know this, so.
Right. Well, so not it, then.
No, not then. No, not then, but it did take me to another area, yes, that opened me up to more how I work today, I think.
Right, in your subconscious.
In my conscious. Well, you know, the thing of it is, it's funny because I lost that crystal, all of a sudden disappeared, I have no idea how this happened, but I had read when these record keepers come into the hands of somebody, usually it will be by accident, and it wasn't a crystal for me. Like I said, I was tormenting this guy. I kept picking these. And this one particular one I did finally get, and it turns out to be this record keeper, and it turns out that I was, what I read, and then there's a lot more information now about it, that later on it would just disappear, and sometimes it was time for it to leave that person to go to another person. Mm-hmm. And it did right. just that. I'm not going to go into that story, but it was, I don't know how it happened, it was gone. Right. And that was 18 years ago. And I'll always remember that experience, and that when I was opening up to all my work, it was quite awesome. It really was. So, you know, I'm not, and also I don't think they're magical. I don't think anything like that. But it did help me tune into something other part of my work that was necessary at the time.
Right, had that all along inside. But and I agree with you, that crystal provoked that part of you to open up because it was now time for you.
Yeah, it's like swimming. I swim competitively. Sometimes, you know, at first you need to have a life jacket in when you're 2 years old or something until you can get to going.
Right.
But Sharon, I wanted to ask you, you have a crystal that appears and disappears in your purse, too. Like, can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I have a little citron that I bought a long time ago because I was told always have citron in your purse for prosperity. And it'll disappear, and I'll be like, oh, where'd it go? And, you know, you think it's gone, and then you'll be in the purse again, and there it is. And sometimes it'll disappear for months on end, and no matter what purse I use, it's the same thing. So I don't know what's going on with that, and it's always the same one. I can tell it's kind of a peculiar-looking thing. And it's like, it's kind of funny. So not sure where it's going.
Well, you know, maybe it's going to someone else to help them, like I said in my life.
I just kind of live with it.
It's kind of, well, that always comes back to you. That's kind of a nice thing. I'd like to announce the call-in number again, everybody, for the free readings. And that call-in number is 724-444-4851. And Steve's so quiet over there. Steve, hi, Steve.
Hello. I'm just listening to the
I know
conversation.
You are. Yes, I know you are. And so nicely. Do crystals store information? What do you think about that? Well, yeah.
Well, it's a question I submitted before the show, and Rumi was talking about that. But I was watching a documentary a couple of weeks ago, and it was saying that there is a theory that the crystal skulls do store an enormous amount of information, that information comes from elsewhere. And I've heard a number of times that crystals do store information. And again, Rumi was saying that you can actually imprint your energy upon a crystal, and that a crystal can be used to facilitate learning. So I'm pretty sure after what he said that they can record information.
Yeah, you know what he's talking about, Marcel Vogel, what he did in that, you know, where he watched a couple times him doing with the books, you know, reading and knowing exactly, and his daughter too. So, and also the record keepers are from Atlantis again. And really, that's what I found out about him, so it makes sense why I can't pronounce grammar. So, Jackie, are there crystals associated with each chakra?
I believe so, actually, you know, and I think that ties into the question we skipped over with the colors.
I'm sorry.
I get very passionate, so you'll have to pardon me.
No, don't be sorry. It's great.
Okay. But I did do a little researching here, and it's interesting. I won't get into every single color, but they do talk about red, and there is a crystal associated with the chakra. Obviously, the root chakra is the first one. The crystal, there's a couple here, sardonyx, carnelian, ruby. And then it tells you the color radiates, well, it says here, the color radiates with vitality, promotes circulation, and gives impetus to the procreative process and creative endeavor. It also talks about things that it treats. Anemia, paralysis, circulatory problems. So if you want to do some research yourself, but it does, from what I found here, each color has a crystal associated with it, and as well as what it treats, and then the chakra that it's associated. So obviously, if people aren't aware, we have the root chakra, which is red, you know, the second, which is orange. So it's, mm-hmm. pretty much like the color of the rainbow. It's interesting because somebody did talk about a rainbow crystal. But it's interesting. It definitely is. And I do feel colors hold frequencies and vibrations. And I would imagine the colors of the crystal also have that energy. You know, everything is energy, but I feel color is, you know, it comes from another dimension. If you think about it, it's just, it's fascinating. We have to maybe get a show on colors and you know, the harmonics and the frequencies associated with colors.
Yeah, well, and our auras too, you know, are color. And they change colors in our different in our different moods, but you know,
oh,
but
the mood ring. There you go.
Yeah, the mood ring. I remember that mood ring. But you know, for grounding, and we didn't talk about. There's a lot of other gems and crystals, but the obsidian besides that, but the hematite. I need that to ground myself, or I'd be all. I'm still all over the place, bouncing off the walls. But I like I said, it's not magical. I think it helps me to identify that area of myself that I need grounding. But and it feels good in my hand too. It's smooth.
Right. There you
and,
go.
And Sharon, I want you to talk about this. And Jeff, it's cute. And I love it. And you have a little trick I like to hear about how you tell your clients into finding a relationship.
Well, I'm a little hey but, Jackie. What I do is, as I always say, to get two rose quartz and to put it in their southwest corner of their home to find their kind of pull apart, which is what I call it. It's because southwest, of course, in Feng Shui is the relationship corner, and two is like two, you know, like bringing someone to you. So that's, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about. But people love it, and then I always keep them there, even though I'm with my husband, but I just to keep, you know, just to keep the energy hopping, you know?
Yes. And before we're going to start a reading in a minute, but before, which you bring up, Jackie, I'm having fun with you. Jackie, like you said, you weren't really in a good place to be having to go towards a relationship. Like we said, we need to really, it's all inside of us. And I agree with that. Definitely. So, there you have it.
There you have it. We could there go on and it. Ever, but I know we're going to get ready for callers, so I'll be quiet.
Yeah,
soon.
We are. okay. Well, actually, right before everybody, we're going to take a short commercial, a Psychic Access commercial, psychicaccess.com. We'll be back in one moment.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
And action. Okay, we have come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or you can ask your question in the chat room, but however, we do have to take call-ins first due to their wait time, and we do have several. So the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851, and again, that number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold, and will be answered in the order received. So please relax and just listen to the show while you wait and enjoy it. And we do ask that you please be very specific and direct with your question, as this will allow for us to better connect with your situation. And because we have a lot of callers, we would like to keep it to one direct question. So that's all. And we are going to begin. And our first caller and is okay. Hello, Minnesota. Hi.
Name is Kimberly.
Kimberly, hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Hi. Fine. I'm fine. How are you?
Great. And your question?
Yeah. My question is about meeting and being with my twin flame, my soulmate.
Okay. Okay, great. And I think Jackie?
Hi, Kimberly. How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. So let me just be clear. Your question is when you're going to be meeting him? Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's my question.
Okay, well, as you know, or you may not know, twin flames are people that are already here. So in other words, this guy is already around, and that's what I'm getting, that he's actually closer than you think. And you will recognize him, absolutely. It'll just be like, you know, when you meet him, you'll feel like, wow, I've known this guy before. You know, there's something about him. So that's how you'll be able to recognize him. But one of the things that they're asking you to do is, I feel there is some hesitation because deep down there is still a fear that having somebody in my life will change things, you know, like my life is about to change now. Like this is just something deep down because I feel you're a very independent woman. You are somebody who, you know, you have no problem taking care of yourself. You've been doing what you needed to do, you know, all of your life. You know, you are a very powerful person. And most men, from what I'm gathering, feel intimidated by you. But this guy will not. He will know who you are and you will recognize him. And this is going to come very soon for you. But one of the things you need to do is kind of let your guard down, be open to it. I still feel like there's this assertive businesswoman who's like, you know, I mean business. And, you know, it just leave that at the office or just put that on the back burner. And show up as, you know, vulnerable and playful and flirty. You know, wear that mask. You know, be that person because you have this amazing gift to be able to alternate between different kinds of, I hate to say the word labels, but you can be like different people. And that's a gift in and of itself. So just remember to put on your fun-loving, playful hat because the sooner you do that, the sooner this guy is going to show up. But I still feel that you walk around with a little bit of intimidation, or that's the way it's appearing to men. So let that guard down because he's not far.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kimberly, for calling. And
well, thank you.
And, good luck to you, Kimberly.
You're going to be in for a ride of your life, I'm sure, sooner than you think. So you deserve it, too. Thank you. And our next caller is from Georgia. Hi, Georgia. From Georgia. Not Georgia, but Georgia. Hello? Georgia? State of?
Hello?
Hi. Hi, State of Georgia. And what's your name?
This is Kevin. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Kevin from Atlanta. And what is your question?
I sense a new energy coming towards me. I'm not afraid of it. I have the gift of auto writing, and I placed three intentions out. One of them was granted to me 2 years ago, and I don't know if this energy that I'm sensing is an answer to my other two intentions.
Okay. And Steve?
Okay. Hi, Kevin. So, Kevin, I just want to clarify your question. You were saying you were given three pieces of information about the future, and you want to know if the first... I didn't quite understand. You want to know if the first is related to the second? Is that what you said?
I'll just repeat it real quick. I had put three intentions out there. One of them was granted to me about 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, I just sense within the last 60, 90 days, a new energy coming towards me. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. It's like walking into a smoke-filled room, and I'm bumping into the furniture, but it's a redemptive energy, I feel, but I just don't know quite what it is, and I don't know if it's an answer to my other two intentions or is this just a new spot in my journey?
Okay, well, Kevin, you know, in response to your question, my guides are saying that you do have very strong intuitive capability, and you sense and see particularly, you see spirit clearly. My guides are saying that you do see, you are very clairvoyant, and even if you go back to childhood, you've always seen the formation of spirit people. Does that make sense to you? Kevin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can't. Did you ask me a question?
Yes, I'm saying to you that my guides are saying that you're very clairvoyant, that you see the formation and the aura of spirits quite clearly. Do you see spirits appearing visually?
I feel things. I don't see them. I'm more or less, and my clairvoyant abilities are very nascent. I'm a pilgrim at this, and but I don't see things. I just feel something out there. And
okay.
It feels rather redemptive.
Okay. Well, my guides are saying that you do have clairvoyance, and I feel clairvoyance strongly with you. So if you're more claircognizant now, I see you becoming much more clairvoyant, and I feel strongly from based upon what my guides are saying that you will start to see spirits clearly. I do feel an energy around you, a male energy, and I see darker hair, and I do see an entity that is more troubled, but my guides are saying that you have a huge amount of strength, and your spiritual work will lead you, if you're willing, it will lead you towards more helping people with disturbances, so poltergeist activity, more the investigative side of spiritual work. And I feel strongly that you will do that work very well because of this great strength that you have. You know, you are of the light, and you're a very strong person with a very strong spirit, and that enables you to deal with troubled entities that need to be sent to the light. And my guides talk of travel with you. They talk particularly of July, June, July, August. I see you traveling quite a lot in the US to begin with, but I see you traveling to work with other people who specialize in helping and expelling entities that need to be sent to the light. And I feel that very strongly with you. Okay?
Okay.
You have nothing to worry about. Just know that you're of the light, and spirit is sending you these energies, these entities, because you're strong enough to help them to deal with the situation and send them onto the light. And I'll be excited to hear about how you get on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kevin. Good luck, and thank you.
Thank you for calling, Kevin. And we have Texas. Hi, Texas. And welcome.
Hello, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. I know Kathy from Texas. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm fine, thanks. And what is your question?
Okay, I'm trying to pick between two of them. What are the animals on my totem? Or what Native American tribes are my ancestors?
Oh, I couldn't hear that. What was that last second one, Kathy? Would you say?
The second one?
Yeah.
What Native American tribes are my ancestors?
Oh, you know what? There's that. I know Kathy, everybody. So I'm okay. And Sharon?
Hi, this Kathy.
Hello.
I'm getting. Can you hear me? I'm getting really strongly that the wolf. I'm getting that you're very much of a teacher, and I feel wolves all around you. I feel that. I just keep getting that everywhere you go. You might not be a teacher per se in that you are an acting teacher, but it's like everywhere you go, you're always teaching other people. And Is that true? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you great. I have loved wolves most of my life, and I actually want to meet some wolves in nature. One of the reasons why I want to go out to Nevada and get close to the wilderness. Teaching-wise, I've had some, actually had some dreams where I was in school, but that could be because I want to go back to school.
And like I said, it's not always that you have to be in school or being a teacher or like in a school, but it's just, I just feel that when you learn something, you're always sharing it with others, and you learn, you teach, you learn, you teach, and it's quite a nice gift of yours that you do. And also, the wolf teaches us about family, I believe. So, the importance of family and the importance of your own little nucleus. So, I know that's important to you. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you studied Native spirituality and stuff? Because I think you really resonate with that.
I am so fascinated with Native American culture. I've been told that one of the tribes, Cherokee, might be in my ancestry, but I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, because I was feeling Cree, but I don't know. I don't really know them all that
Cree?
Well, but I just was getting the words. So, you
okay.
know, but you know, it might be something you want to check out, even going for a sweat lodge, because you know, if you go to a sweat lodge or something like that, you can find out a lot about yourself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's good. So, and I'm also getting, just one more thing quickly, is that you have a lady behind you in spirit, and she's a guide of yours, and she's a young lady, and she also is a Native lady, and she's carrying like a large basket full of healing medicines. So it's almost like I feel you're a healer too. So this lady works with you as you go about your life. It's very lovely.
That's great, because I've been asking for some healing for cats that have gotten sick. One cat is sneezy, I guess it's a cold, and the other one I believe is healed now. Yeah, she had a enlarged gland on the side of her neck, and I also gave her actual medicine, an antibiotic, and I helped, and I asked the spirits to help heal her, and I haven't seen the gland on it, and I can't feel it when I feel her neck, so apparently it went away or went down.
Yeah, it's your gift, so it's interesting, and you resonate with the cats too, eh? That's really nice. Yeah. Well, that's and I feel this is just the beginning. It's going to be opening up and opening up, and I especially see the beginning of 2012 that your gifts are going to become quite prominent. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Oh.
Should I do more work in that? Opening myself up to it more.
Yeah, it's going to happen quite naturally. I almost see you. It's like I see you walking on your path, and it's like there's little signs along the way, and like a brick here, a brick here. And it's funny you see Nevada, because I keep getting that for you. So, yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
So cool. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So did that answer your question, or
she's good, huh?
Yeah.
Kathy. Sharon's our new host, and we just are so happy to have her with us.
Aww.
And I know Kathy. I know Kathy pretty. I very well. Yeah, Kathy. I know her very well, and I think that's very interesting. And I love what she insight she gave to you, Kathy. Really, we've never spoken about this stuff before. You and I, and I thought it was very enlightening.
Yes, it is.
Very good. And okay. Well, thank you, Kathy, for calling, and thank you, Sharon, for that reading.
Thank you. It was nice.
That was lovely. And I would like to give out the phone number again, our lines are open right now. So if you call in, you'll be able to get right through. It's 724-444-4851. And I would jump on it because as soon as we always do this, everybody comes piling but they come piling in on the phone. So, or if you have a question in chat, we are able to answer right now until we get some calls coming back in. And if not, then I guess I'll just start talking your ear off. We all love it when I do that, you know? So.
How about we all jump in?
Yeah, but you all jump in. We all jump on me.
Let's have a.
We can have a powwow. I want to bring up something again about this crystal thing we were talking to.
Oh, you just can't let that rest.
This is a different thing. But a long time ago, and it was during this time period, I gave this child, I was living with a friend of mine, I helped raise her child, and I gave her some pretty crystals and different types and such, and she was like 5 years old, and I didn't tell her they're magical. I wanted to share them with her, and I told her this is good to help you do this. This would be good to help you feel, because she was having some havoc in this home that we lived in between us adults. But anyway, her mom, she lost them, just like a dress. You know, a kid will lose their favorite dress, and what do? They'll start crying. Their life has ended, right? And this child lost these crystals, and she went into a fit, thinking that all her her personal magic was gone. And I never did imply that they were magic, and without them she would be nothing. But her mom came at me and really let me have it. I was really upset because my intention was all good about giving these to her. I thought they were nice little stones. You know, they were beautiful little stones. They were quartz crystal. I mean, the pink and rose quartz and a little amethyst here, and had a little bag for her, but she lost them. And her mom came at me. I said, "Listen," I said, "you're making more of a big deal out of this." She goes, "You've destroyed my daughter." She doesn't think she has any personal magic in her. I said, "No, it'd be like she lost her favorite dress, you know." And that again can be something, because you know, I know my little children love to collect little. You know, they have little bags of crystals you can buy. You've seen them before, bag of, you know, your grab bag, and they are kind of just pretty to have around, like seashells, you know, by the seashore.
Well, it's so funny because it reminds me of a story. And it's true, though. You know, you got to really trust your intuition when you do things such as that. And I know you had the best of intentions. And, of course, the little girl was probably overwhelmed, you know. Not overwhelmed, overjoyed. That's great. You know what? We have a caller, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, we do have a caller. You don't have to shoot.
No, oh, but it's my turn.
It's my turn. I get a turn, and I get New York. Hi, New York. Welcome.
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi, I'm sorry, hello? New York. What's your name?
Sue.
Sue?
Sue. Susan.
Susan, Sue. Hi, how are you?
Okay. I have a question about about my daughter.
Okay.
And her mental health. Okay. I was wondering if I should be concerned. Starting to see signs of schizophrenia, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's just a young ego.
Well, is your daughter an adolescent? Is she 13 or how old is she?
21.
And you're saying just now you're seeing something, or has this been going on? Because, you know, your daughter does look like she's in a depression state. And schizophrenia also, I do know, because I'm not a doctor, but my sister's a psychologist, and schizophrenia is very difficult to diagnose, and I know, but she looks like she's in a very depressed stage, and it's like she's laid up, or also like in a deep meditation as well, and it looks like you didn't have a good victory with her, something to do in just this recently, in January, the beginning, there was something very intense that went on. It was a lost victory, and I don't know what exactly was going on, but there's a man around her. Does she see a therapist or anything like that right now? Because, or a male influence, it looks like it could be a father figure. He's very positive, but it's, you know, I just get a feeling she's depressed, and she should, if she hasn't been in counseling or hasn't been assessed or anything like that, or if she has been, she hasn't been going to the right people. So through the course of her years, let's say from 13, I'm sorry, Sue, go on, I'm sorry, Sue, what was it?
I want her to see a therapist, but she absolutely refuses to and believes that, I'm the one that's nuts or... No, she doesn't.
Well, yeah. So she's never been in therapy before, is what you're saying, through the course of her adolescence, right?
Right.
I think that schizophrenia is a pretty intense word, and also if you're saying such to her, I don't think she's going to take kindly to that, because that's a pretty intense, that has a stigma on it, schizophrenia. But I think she does look very depressed, and I do feel depression can be very unsettling, and I think that she's kind of searching. I feel she's a really wonderful, very sensitive human being. She's thinking about making a decision. She has had some bad timing with relationship issues that she's been in pain. And does that make sense to you?
Yes, sort of.
Well,
I think she sees herself in a relationship that isn't there. That's the thing. She's never had a boyfriend or anything. But she has a few people that she's interested in.
Well, I think that she's going to be okay, but I do feel that maybe it might be a better idea to address her instead of being mentally ill. Maybe some of the things she's going through, some people are very sensitive and they experience things differently, and I think she's a very sensitive young woman. In fact, I think also she glows. I mean, there's a part of her I see that she's vivacious. She comes into a room and she can really glow and when she's on a good thing, but she needs support. She needs emotional support. She feels emotionally isolated. And I feel that, but there is a father figure or man around her that's very positive that helps her stay in a reality. Is she close to a father figure, or I don't know if it's her father or father figure type of person, but he's very positive. Does she have someone like that she can...
The father figure's around. I don't know that he's too positive. He's awfully harsh with her most of the time.
He is, but you're not with him, are you? No, you're not with him? Are you married still to him? Are you not?
Yeah, we don't get along very well, but yes, we are still married.
But there is some father figure, and maybe it's not, but it looks like a man of that age, father figure, who really is helpful. Now, does she go to school or anything like that? Does she have any outside activities besides, feeling down and...
That's it. She doesn't have a social life, but she goes to work 40 hours a week.
And what does she do for work? I'm curious. Is it around people, right?
Scans papers all day, people that she hates.
I feel she needs some love and compassion, and I think that there's stuff that she is deep down and feels uncomfortable about even discussing, so she almost like recluses. She goes into a convalescent state, which put her into a depression. Sue, I think that it might be a good idea to maybe try to get a different perspective if you can. I know it's hard, but approach her in a certain way and try to talk to her in a certain way that she's not a bad person or ill or causing difficulties. Ask her what you can do for her. Say, what is it that I can do to help you? Or what can I do for you? And see, and you might be surprised. She might really open up. I have faith in her. And I just think there's so much love and wonderfulness, and she just can't connect to it. But I think that you're a big part of this. I think that you can maybe try to do that. Yes, maybe? Might be a good idea. I really do. And, and like Jackie's mentioned...
I have been trying.
but try in a different manner, like approaching her with more like you're not... schizophrenia. I know this because you have that in your mind. But she may be going through a lot. Jackie was saying through a spiritual growth, which is really hard and difficult and isolating when you have somebody thinking you're kind of crazy or mentally ill. I'm not putting you down because I know that you're concerned. But maybe approach her more in a gentle way and ask her what you know. And you might be surprised what you'll find if you maybe approach her in a whole different way than you ever have. It can't hurt. It can't hurt.
Right.
I do see it to be positive. If you try to do so, for both of you, it would be positive. So I hope that helped. and I wish you well. But I don't. I think she's just going through. I think she's going to be. She's going to be. You'll be very. You won't be disappointed with her. And what she's ended up, she's heading. She's going to be interesting. She's a wonderful woman. She just needs some compassion.
I sometimes see that she has some psychic abilities, but
yeah, that's the thing, and that's why I'm saying you need to approach her in a different way.
It's a very sided, you know, one side of the fence. You know, it's
just try to be open to what maybe you may not understand, but just her perspective. Just embrace her and just. If you just let her do some talking, and then that'll be good. That'll be good. I hope I helped you, and please take care, and let us know how she's doing, okay? And how you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue. Good night.
Okay.
And
bye.
Thank you for calling. And we have California and Jackie. Hi, California. What's your name? Hi, California. I'm sorry.
Are you talking to me?
California, yeah.
You have to turn your computer down or mute your computer.
Mute your computer.
Echo.
Yes, an echoing going on, California. We can't hear who you are. Sorry, I don't even. Can you try to call right back? Because we can't hear you at all. I hope she can. Okay. And, okay, hopefully she'll be calling back. And, Jackie, you can take that one. That was interesting, Sue's last call that came in. I can understand and relate to that.
Yeah.
And it is difficult. And
yeah. I didn't want to. Oh, go ahead, Maureen. Go ahead.
No, but, Jackie, you and I identify with that.
Yeah.
That,
sometimes. What happens when people are showing these behavioral changes, immediately we start slapping them with labels and that sort of thing. But what I picked up, and I know it was your caller.
Oh, that's okay.
That she is growing spiritually, and it's actually something that she may not feel comfortable sharing with her mother because of the kind of judgment and criticism. And of course, you're coming from a place, Sue, of a loving heart, you know, absolutely. But I think if you just say, you know, I love you no matter what, I accept you for who you are, I want to help you as best as I can, and I promise I will just listen, and I will not say anything if you would like to tell me and share with me.
That is very hard sometimes for
parents. Just giving them that space, you know, that space just to... She has a lot going on, and I don't feel that she has a place to go to. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have Ontario. Hi, Ontario.
Hi. I called in a few minutes ago. You thought I was calling from California.
Oh, hi. Thank you. What's your name?
Suzanne.
Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. And what's your question, please?
I have a lot of different things coming towards me right now. And I'm not exactly sure which one I should be focusing on.
Okay. And Jackie.
Okay. Hi, Suzanne. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. This is good. One of the first things, okay, you have a lot going on. But what they want you to do, because you're somebody who's very capable of handling many different things, like you're a very good, efficient multitasker. You know, the joke of a multitasker is they do a lot of things, but none of it gets done. But for you, that's not the problem. You know, that's not an issue. You're very efficient at what you do. But what they want you to do is, moving forward, is take a little more time to, you know, if there's maybe five or six things going on, take one or two and look into it a little more and do a little research, because I think what you're going to find is there going to be a few of those things that are going to overlap with one another, because this is a career question. This is what I feel is for you moving forward. Is this idea of what is it that I'm going to be doing? I'm not sure. I have an idea of a lot of different things. That's what they're showing me. The focus is here for you, is to take a look at the career. But they want you to do a little more research right now in terms of what it is you want to do, because I don't feel the full understanding is there right now, but it won't take much more of your time, and you will have that clarity. But really be honest with yourself as well, because I just get this feeling that there's like you know in your heart what it is, but I feel that you're also asking a lot of people what they think and what their thought is, and now that's creating more confusion. So go within once in a while, Suzanne, and just say, you know, what is it that I want to do? And try to put money to the side. I know it's difficult because, hey, you know, we want to make a living, but at the same time, you want to do something that you'll love and enjoy and trust that the money will come, you know, will come. So not doing it entirely for the money, because that's only going to go so far. Because I feel like your soul is calling out to you to say, listen, now it's time to wake up. Now it's time to really take a look at what you're here for, and try to, you know, not let money be a factor in what it is you want to do, what feels good. They keep saying feeling, you know, because I think you are somebody who's very logical. You're in your head. You think a lot. You come from a family of people that are very intelligent. So they're asking you to go within to your feelings now. And it may be challenging. It may be a different way for you, but just something that they're suggesting you to explore. Does that make any kind of sense to you, Suzanne? I talk yeah. fast, so I want to give you some space if you have any questions.
Yeah. It does make a lot of sense. I can see some ways things are overlapping, and at the same time, I'm trying to figure out how to... part of me is going, okay, how do you turn this into money?
Right. And that's it. And you
know,
how
to do this stuff, it's so okay. What do you do with it?
What's that?
And I know how to do this stuff, but I don't know how to market it.
Right. And you know, the beauty of all this is this way of being, this part of you that's calling out for this now, is you have support. In other words, universally, you know, the angels whom I work closely with. And if that's comfortable for you, that's wonderful. But you, quite simply, it's so hard. I know it. I can feel it, you know, this frustration, like, cause you're like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then there's this big question. How? But you don't have to know that. You know, and that's like the beauty in all this, but at the same time, it's like the curse, you know, it's like this double-edged sword. So if you can just find a place in yourself and just put it out there, just say, you know what, show me how to do this, and just put it out there and just let it go. And one day, and I promise you, because this works, this idea will just jump into your consciousness, or somebody will call you, or something will show up, and you'll be like, that's it. That's it. So ask first, put it out there, just say, show me how to do this. You know, I find that it works. And I say that to a lot of people because we get stuck in that, you know, trying to figure it out. So, hey, why not put it out there and ask? And I'm not talking about friends. I'm talking in the universe, you know, whatever your higher power is. That's where, because it'll come to you through a channel, you know, through a person, through, you know, through your own insight. But sometimes we have to ask for help first. And we can ask for everything. You know, how am I supposed to do this? What is the best way for me? Those are questions you can ask, absolutely. I would start with that, so.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Suzanne, for calling. And thank you, Jackie. That was a lovely, that was great.
You're welcome. Good luck, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne. And in Florida, we have a call from Florida. Florida, we can't get your call, but I want you to know this is a really great thing. Next week, we are going to be doing 2 hours of all readings. So please call back next week, and I think everybody should enjoy that. But so, sorry, but we'll catch you next week, I'm sure. And so that brings us to Well, that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show, I do declare. And I wish to thank my co-host and executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. And Sharon, again, we are thrilled to have you join our team. And in celebration of the month of February, next week's show we will be dedicated to an evening of free readings. And that's 2 hours, everybody. I mean, that's 2 hours. A good time to bring family, friends, and neighbors for this show, or anybody else you might know. So I'm saying goodbye before everybody else says, and I say bless your heart, and thank you for showing up and coming, and we love you. And there you go, everybody. Goodbyes.
Hey, I just want to share also, in addition to our free readings next Thursday, it is Groundhog Day, and it's also Chinese New Year, if anybody's interested. When I got my nails done, the Chinese lady was telling me that. And that's like a huge celebration, so we're going to have a lot to celebrate.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that either.
Me either. But anyway, thank you. And just wanted to share that, and it was a lot of fun.
That was great.
Awesome, Joe Maureen. Yay. Love the guest. He was great.
And Steve and Sharon, are you there? Bye. Say goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Thank you. Great show.
Thank you, Maureen. Wonderful show. Look forward to giving readings next week, and wonderful to have you with us as well, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Sharon.